So we get baptized. Now what? Now what? What kind of a question is that to ask? Now we start our life in the truth. Now we have our whole life ahead of us to labor in the vineyard and work out our salvation. What kind of a title is that Brother Mike gave me after we're baptized? Now what? You know, a young sister once said, after she came into the truth, she said, "Before I was baptized, I was working towards getting baptized. I was studying and doing things. But then once I got baptized, now what?" She didn't have any specific direction that she had to do, that she felt compelled, okay, here's what I have to do. And I'm sure she's not alone in the way she felt. And I'm sure there are many others that feel that same way, and that's why Brother Mike asked me to give this talk. So I'm baptized. Now what? You see, getting baptized is the first goal that you have and you work towards when you say, "I want to obey God and I want to get into His kingdom." You say, okay, the first thing I have to do is get baptized. And you set that goal and you work towards it. So now you're baptized. Now what? Well, you set another goal. Well, that's good. What goal do you set once you're baptized? You say, well, my goal is to serve God and get into the kingdom. Sorry, I don't think that's a good goal. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's a good objective. It should be the motivating force in our life, that all we say and do and think is motivated towards that objective. But to set it as a goal, I always call those kind of goals fuzzy goals, because they're out there, but you can't focus them. They're just kind of fuzzy. Let me give you a couple examples. If you tell me, you know, my goal is to make it up to Boston one of these Februaries and attend your study weekend, because I've never been to Massachusetts in the wintertime, and I've never met the rest of the Boston Ecclesia, and I've never been tobogganing or something like that, and my goal is to make it to one of those study weekends. But I just don't have the money right now, so I can't make it this year. Well, I'll tell you, it's not a good goal. It's a fuzzy goal. To have a good goal, you have to focus it. You've got to say, you know, it's going to cost me about $500 to fly up to Boston. Let's see, there's 52 weeks in a year, so if I save $10 a week, that'll mean by next year I'll have $500, $520, and I can make it up there. Now, there is a goal that you've set. I know I have to save $10 a week. And if I miss a week, I'm going to say, I'm going to have to save $11 for the next 10 weeks to keep my goal. So you can measure it. You can focus on it. But if you say, I'd like to get up there someday, it's not going to happen. The goal needs to be focused so that you can measure it. To set a goal, it has to be clear and unambiguous. It has to be realistic. It has to be something that you can obtain. It's got to be measurable. You've got to be able to take a cold, hard steel ruler and measure it and say, how am I doing against my goal? And because you can measure it, then you can get the feedback. And you know how you're coming along. Are you progressing? Do you have to make changes and adjustments? You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have to make adjustments along the way. And the goal has to have a specific deadline. By this date, this is what I expect to have happen. Now, if you have specific goals, they're challenging to you. And you come along with the specific feedback, they contribute to higher performance. You're going to work towards that goal. They give you a direction. You know what needs to be done, how much effort you got to put into it to accomplish it. And when you obtain that goal, it gives you the feeling of accomplishments and sets you up to set another goal and make another accomplishment. So let's look at the goal we had before we were baptized to our goals after baptism. Before we're baptized, you may say, I want to serve God and get into the kingdom. Okay. How do we do that? Well, the first thing is we have to be baptized. So you say, I want to be baptized. And I say, not a good goal. See, you told me that last year. And you told me that the year before that. You want to be baptized this weekend? You say, no, I can't do it this weekend because why? That's your goal? Why not? Well, I don't know enough. Okay. Let's then bring that goal into focus. Now, in my opinion, an adult, we heard about the capacity and the opportunity. An adult with a normal capacity, I feel a person who wants to be baptized should be able to learn the truth within 9 months. That's how long it takes a baby to start off and be born. So why can't you be born of water within 9 months? So let's give you 10 months. So 10 months from now will be next October. So we'll set the goal by next October, I'll know enough to be baptized. Now, how do we get there? We need a roadmap. We need a GPS. We need to get there. Friday night, our brother told us that knowledge, there's two main things that we have to know. The things concerning the kingdom of God and the things concerning Jesus Christ. Okay, if we have 10 months, let's spend 5 months on the kingdom and 5 months on learning about Jesus. So the first month, let's say we're learning about the kingdom, we have to know about the promises. So in January, I'm going to be studying the promises. By the end of January, I should know that. Now we come into February. Let's go over to the things concerning Jesus Christ. And let's see, how does Jesus fit into the promises? How is he the fulfillment of those promises? How is that relationship? And then you do March. Okay, here's what we're going to do. And you map out your course, and there's going to be some months that you probably get bogged down in, and there's some months that you look and you say, breeze right through it. That's all right. You set your goal. You can measure your progress. You know how you're doing. You're not just going to say, I want to be baptized. So you measure your progress, and you know where you are and how you're coming along on them. And you get baptized. So now I'm baptized. Now what? Now what? Do you just drift? What goals have you set to accomplish since you've been baptized? What was your second goal? What was your third goal? How are you coming along on the goals that you're working on now? What goals are they? Or are you just drifting? How do you expect to reach that goal of the kingdom if you're just drifting? you must work on specific goals. Areas that you see and you say, I need to improve in that area. And here's what I'm going to do to improve in that area. Or here's a need that I see in the ecclesia or in the brotherhood, and here's what I'm going to do to accomplish that for the brotherhood. Specific goals that you can see, that you can measure, that you can work towards. While the Master tarries, he's expecting us to be working, to be doing things, to improve ourselves, to help others, to help the ecclesia, the brotherhood. And if you don't measure your progress, how do you know that you're making any? You know, progress along that straight and narrow path is absolutely essential to get into the kingdom. We've got to progress along that path. We're commanded to grow in grace and in knowledge. A newborn must grow. If the newborn doesn't grow, we call that arrested development. And if that happens to a newborn, the newborn never matures. And it's the same thing for newborns in the truth. You must develop. You must grow. You must set some goals for yourself and improve yourself and learn and grow and develop. Set up a roadmap and progress. Mark your progress along that route. What are you working on? How are you coming along with it? Identify areas that you need improvement in or something that you would like to do in the truth to help the brotherhood and work toward that. Now, I'm going to give you some specific examples because right now I'm talking in generalities. You say, yeah, that's good, but what can I do? But before I give you any specific examples, there's one thing that I want to make very clear right from the start. I want no misunderstanding. When we're working towards that goal of the kingdom of God, none of the things that I tell you will get you there. Okay? You can't say, well, if I do this, then I'll get into the kingdom, or if I do that, then I'll get into the kingdom. Sorry. It doesn't work that way. You can't set a goal and say, there, I've accomplished it. I made it. Good job. Okay? It's out of your reach, and it's out of my reach. However, Christ will observe what we're doing. He will observe our attempts of improving ourselves. He will observe our attempts of trying to work in the brotherhood. And he'll look at us and say, I like what I see. And even though that's not perfect, even though it's not good enough, I like what I see, and I'm going to make up the rest of it. Because that person is doing the best they can. I'll make up what's lacking. And although we cannot earn eternal life by doing any, setting any of these goals and obtaining any of these goals ourselves, the message I want you to come away with is do something. Do anything to improve yourself and to work in the brotherhood. Your steady progress will be observed and it will be rewarded. Now, I said I'll give you specific examples. When I was trying to think of specific examples to give you, I decided to do something that I've never done before. I decided to tell you some things that I did when I came into the truth. And like you said, I've never talked about these before because I know nobody's particularly interested in what I did. But nevertheless, I've got the platform, so I want to just give you some example. When I came into the truth, I was a very poor reader. I was a terrible reader. My reading skills were atrocious. And when after I was baptized, I was called upon to read from the platform. And I remember one Sunday, up there and I read, I started reading and I'd make a lot of mistakes and I'd go back and try to correct the verse and make more mistakes the second time I was reading it than I did the first time. I remember one Sunday I sat down after bumbling through the reading and a Sunday school scholar came up to me. He says, Jim, he says, I thought when you got big you could read good. He says, you read like I do. This was like an 8 or 9 year old kid. Out of the mouths of babes. He was right. So what do I do? I'm a bad reader. I'm not going to get up there and read anymore. Or I could continue on fumbling and bumbling like I was doing. Or I could set a goal and say, I've got to make some improvements. So the next day, I came home from work with a big cardboard box. I set that cardboard box on top of my desk. I took my Bible, I set it on top of the cardboard box, and I stood there every day. And I did my readings from that cardboard box platform. And I read out loud, just as if I was reading to an audience. And I read every word out loud. And when I made mistakes, I'd count the number of mistakes I made. If I made too many mistakes, I'd go back and I'd read that chapter again, word by word. Publicly, not publicly, privately, but out loud. In my apartment, by myself. Day after day, and week after week. And month after month, I read out loud. And slowly and eventually, my reading skills improved. Now, I'm not saying if you do that, you can become as good a reader as I am. Because I know a lot of you are a lot better readers than I am already. But what I am saying is, I felt that if I was going to be a brother and I was going to get up on the platform and read, I needed to improve my reading skills so that I wasn't detracting from the Word of God, so that I could read so that the audience could get something out of it. I saw a problem. I set a goal. I set a course that I could measure to try to improve what I was doing. Another problem I had, or something I observed, when I came into the truth, I observed that certain brethren didn't attend classes, other brethren attended once in a while, and others were there every class, participating, being an active part of the ecclesia class. I looked at that and I said, you know, I get a lot more out of those brethren that are actively involved than I do with those that aren't attending or those that just sit there and say nothing. If I'm going to be a brother in this ecclesia, I'd like to be like one of those brethren. So my first goal was, there's a class, be there. There was going to be a class, if it was within my power to be there, that was my number one priority. And I also decided that before I attended the class, I would read the section before I got there so I knew what it was about. Now, I don't know if you can appreciate how difficult a decision that was for me. I felt it was something that I really had to do to work in the truth. However, I didn't feel like I should be the person being able to do that. And I had a whole bunch of reasons why I couldn't do that. First, I grew up in isolation. I didn't have an ecclesia. I lived in New Jersey, just my family, and Nick Mamone. Many of you know Nick. He used to come over on Sunday morning and have a meeting with us. And he'd come over one night a week and do the readings with us. But it wasn't an ecclesia. It wasn't part that I was interacting with a group of people. It was just my family. I never spoke in front of a large group of people. And being a poor reader, being a teenager that just came into the truth and joining a bigger ecclesia, I knew that there were brethren in that ecclesia way more capable than I was. They'd been in the truth longer than I'd even been alive. What could I possibly say to them to help them? I was overwhelmed. That is called stinking thinking. That's stinking thinking. If you think that way, you'll never get anywhere. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. You've got to start where you are and progress. That's what life in the truth is about. I don't care where you are. This is where you are. That's where you start. And you progress from there. If you don't, it's arrested development. You never go any further. We must get over the stinking thinking. Stick our necks out a little bit. Move out of our comfort zone. We're doing the work for God. He requires it of us. It's something we've got to do. But as if I didn't have enough going against me, the book we were taking when I came into the truth was Ministry of the Prophets Isaiah. Now, I don't know how many of you are familiar with that book, but it's tough sledding even for adults. It's not an easy book to read. How am I going to read that chapter and make a comment on it? So I bought the book, I read the chapter, and Brother Walker in that chapter mentioned Bozrah. I knew nothing about Bozrah, so I looked it up in the Bible dictionary. And I wrote down a sentence. And I went over that sentence and over that sentence and over that sentence. So the next class, when we got there, I made my first comment. And it's been almost 50 years ago, and just to let you know how traumatic that was, I still remember exactly what I said that first class. I said, Bozrah means fortified sheepfold, and it's in Edom, south of the Dead Sea. That was my comment. I did it. In the next class, I read the section, and I made another comment. And the next class, and the next class. I believed it was important to be there and to participate. And I still do. I learned a lot. And hopefully others learn also. It was a goal that I set that I could measure, that I was able to obtain. It wasn't easy, but I worked on it and obtained it. And I felt it would help me and maybe others on that fuzzy goal of getting into the kingdom. You do little things and work on the problems and try to solve them. And it's not easy. I understand. It's not easy making attending classes and meetings and stuff the priority of your life. Soon I found myself with a wife, two kids, mortgage payment, two jobs, going to school. It's not easy to say, this is the most important thing. This is what I'm going to do. But if we want to obtain the kingdom, if that is important to us, we've got to set goals and make them a priority. Because if we just drift, say, I'm too busy tonight. I didn't have time to read the section ahead of time. You're too busy doing what? The cares of this life have drowned it out. It's just not worth that much time and energy working towards the kingdom, is it? We've got other more important things to do. And when we sit there on Sunday morning and examine ourselves, we'll have to admit that the cares of this life are more important to us. Unless we make those goals the priority in our life and not allow the world to choke out our goal of the kingdom. And sometimes at high, people say to me something about a comment I made or something. You know, it's because I read the section ahead of time. I still do that because that's my goal. Because I want to be a part of it. I want to participate. And I want to commend the brethren down here because there's a lot of participation in the classes. And I know it's not easy. But you've got to start. And it doesn't get easier if you sit there and don't do it. Make it a priority in your life. Whatever it is, the things of God. I'm going to mention one other goal. When I came into the Worcester Ecclesia, there were several brethren that were in their 40s, in their 50s. I was a teenager. They didn't attend classes, or they attended and they didn't comment. They didn't do their own exhortations. And I questioned, what's with that group of brethren? And I was told that the older brethren did not allow them to participate in the meeting when they were young, because you had to be mature. You had to know what you were doing before you could be a part of the meeting. And as they grew, they never did it. And now they're in their 40s and their 50s, and they weren't able to do it. It does not get easier as you get older. Just because you're older, it doesn't get easier. It gets harder. The more you delay doing it, the harder it will be to do it. You got to start. You got to do it. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Being a terrible reader, I was really nervous about getting up in front and speaking to people. I could never picture myself writing an exhortation, actually doing my own exhortation, and getting up in front of people and giving it. However, that was something I felt that I should do. And so I set a goal. If I'm called on to give an exhortation, I'm not going to read Brother Roberts or somebody else's. If they've asked me to give an exhortation, I'm going to prepare an exhortation. And I'm going to get up there and I'm going to give it. Because I knew that it would never get easier. If I started reading exhortations, it will become easier to read and to read and to read, and I'll never do it. I had to do it. If my goal was to do it, I had to start. And I remember sitting at the table hours after hour after hour with a sheet of paper. I only have one sentence written on it. I didn't know what to write. You know what it's like to reach a dead end. You kind of write something and you hit a roadblock. How do I get past this? What do I say next? How do I do this? I didn't know. I struggled with that. I spent days on sitting at a table trying to say, what do I say next? How do I say that? Just getting a few sentences down. I needed help. And so I did what I never thought I'd do. back to school and started taking some English courses, some writing courses, some reading courses, some public speaking courses, all the stuff I hated. I didn't like any of those, but if I was going to work in the truth, it's something I had to do. I had to learn to do because I couldn't do it. So I took the courses, I'd ask the question, and I'd measure my progress. And if you've never attempted public speaking, when you first get up there, it's not easy. Stupid things got in my way. Stupid, like these things. They hang by your side. What do you do with them when you're up here in front of people? Everybody's looking, my hand's shaking, and they're just hanging there. What do I do with them? You know? I didn't know what to do with them. You know, there's things that you have to, you know, I was thinking about them, and I'm sure everybody else was thinking about them. They just hang there. And there's things that, stupid things like that, you got to overcome. You got to get past them. You know, probably one of the best persons that helped me is a preacher named John. He was an orphan. He lived out in the wilderness, and people came to him to hear him preach. We know him as John the Baptist. Listen to what he... People wondered who he was. And they said, are you the Messiah? He says, I am not. Are you that prophet? He said, no. Then they said unto them, who art thou, that we may give answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Listen to what he said. And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. You know what he said? I'm a voice. It's not about me. It doesn't matter who I am. Listen to what I'm saying. That's the important thing. It's not about us. It's not about how good we are or how much we can do or how I compare to him or her. It's about God. It's not about us. We're working for God. He says, grow, progress. John says, I'm just a voice. It's not about me. It's about what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. And that's what I had to learn. It's not about me. It doesn't matter what you think of me. I've got a message to deliver. After baptism, then what? What are you going to do? What are you doing? It doesn't matter who I am. It's the voice. It's the message. Work for the truth. We need to get over ourselves. It's about God. We're working for Him. It's about laboring for Him. You don't think you're good enough to do this or that? Then get good enough. What are you doing to improve yourself? That's what He wants to see. I'm not good enough, so I don't do anything, and I'm just going to drift because other people can do it better than I can, so therefore I won't do anything? That doesn't get you to the kingdom. Identify the problem and work on it. And if you're not good enough for this, then what are you good enough for? Find it and do it. God didn't create us perfect. He created us with all kinds of problems. And He says, now, work on it. And I'm going to observe how you do it, improving yourself. We sit back and wait and think we're not good enough. We've lost. We've failed. I know you're not good enough. Improve. Work on it. Set a goal. That's what it's about. It's not about how good you are or how poor you are. It's about what are you doing? How much work are you doing? If you're not good enough to do that job, find a job that you think you're good enough at doing and do it and do the best you can at it. Work in the truth. Labor in the vineyard. That's the message. Don't drift. Do the best you can and he will accept that. The reason he will accept that is because that's all he's ever asked us to do. He didn't ask us to obtain this. He says, do the best you can. Get to work. Improve yourself. Help others. Do what you can. He could have created us super good, but he didn't. He created us with all our weaknesses, and then he observes and sees how we're doing, how we're progressing. So what weaknesses do you need to overcome? What goals have you set that you're working on? What do you need to get better at? How far are you coming along your goals that you've set? Are you measuring them? Or are you just guessing and drifting? Sunday morning, another hour from now, we examine ourselves before we partake of the emblems. How do we do that? What parameters are you measuring yourself against? How much progress are you making? Are you just drifting with no specific goals, nothing specific that you're working towards? And the goals don't need to be big public accomplishment. They need to be something that you've identified that you need to improve in. I want to give you one other example. I want to take one of those brethren that I said in their 40s and their 50s and didn't give exhortations and didn't attend classes. There was one brother, you know, I like the guy, but, you know, as a young brother, I know we're not supposed to examine and we're not supposed to judge another brother, but this brother didn't show up at meeting half the time because he was working a lot of weekends and evenings, and it's like, what is he doing in the truth? You know, I'm not supposed to judge him, so I won't, but I don't know. And then one day, I went to see an elderly sister in the nursing home. She was blind. And when I was visiting with her, she says, open the top drawer of the credenza there. I opened the door. There was a little cassette tape recorder. Now, up until this time, this was the late 60s, early 70s, we used to have reel-to-reel tape recorders. You have to feed the tape through the reel. This sister was blind. She was elderly. She couldn't do a tape recorder. She had a little cassette recorder in her drawer, and she told me, Eddie came by, and he gave me that. And he made some tapes, and he told me that when I'd finished those tapes, that I could give them back to him, and he'd make some other ones and give them to me so that I could listen to. And then a couple of weeks later, I went to see another sister. She was widowed. She invited me in. We had a cup of coffee. She says, you know, if you'd been here last week, we wouldn't have been able to sit at this table and have coffee. She said, it was too wobbly. But Eddie came up, and he put some new screws in the table for me. So now we can sit and have a cup of coffee. And then I'd visit somebody else. Oh, Eddie was here, and he did this. And pretty soon I got to realize I can't visit anybody without hearing Eddie was here and did something. You know, yeah, he worked weekends because of his job demanded it, but he had a couple of days off during the week, and obviously he set the goal that he was going to go around and help people that needed help and do the little things, even if it was put a couple of screws in the wobbly table for him. He did those little things for people. And you know something? My opinion of him went from somewhere down here to somewhere up here. It doesn't have to be great things that we're doing. We have to identify what we can do and work. Daniel set a goal. He was in captivity. He said, 3 times a day, I'm going to pray for the people and for myself for the return from Jerusalem. And 3 times a day he opened his window and prayed towards Jerusalem. Even when it meant getting thrown into the den of lions, He set the goal. He felt it was important to do, and he did it. After baptism, then what? Set some goals. Something that you can measure your accomplishments. Don't drift. Examine yourself every day, not just on Sunday. How are you coming along? The goals don't need to be profound to be good. Do you say hello to everybody on Sunday morning? Do you get around to shake hands to let people know you're glad they're a member of your ecclesia, that you're glad to see them? If somebody's out sick, is it you that gives them the phone call or the text message? Ask how they're doing. If somebody's in the hospital, is it you that goes and brings them the casserole when they come home? Or say, I'll be back tomorrow to clean the house or mow the lawn or whatever it is. Those little things to work in the truth to help the brotherhood. That's what our life in the truth is all about. That's what brings that fuzzy goal of getting into the kingdom into focus so you can do the little things that need to be done in the truth. If you're too busy to do that, then admit that the concerns of this life have taken precedence. You've got more important things to do. That the present world is more important than the kingdom of God. Once you're baptized, you've begun a journey. If you don't have a goal, if you don't know where you're going, you're just going to drift. And you're not going to end at your destination that you want. You need a roadmap. You need a GPS. Start small. Make goals that you can accomplish. We heard that, what was it, 9 hours, he said, the average teenager spends with technology. I don't spend that much. I only spend 2 hours. Well, fine. Maybe you should spend 1 hour with your technology and the next hour studying. I'm going to cut my time in front of the TV or in front of the computer by 50% starting today. And you can measure your progress each day of the week. I don't know what goals you need to set, but you do. What can you do to make your life more kingdom-centered? Go and do it.